I offer my loving salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Mother Sai. Revered elders, brothers and sisters, a loving Sai Ram to one and all, and a warm welcome to the evening proceedings of the Ladies' Day celebrations of the 90th year of the advent of the avatar Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. The evening program will commence with talks by two eminent women speakers, followed by a mellifluous music concert by 15 distinguished world-famous musicians. The concert will be followed by a colorful cultural program by the girl students of the Sri Sathya Sai Primary School, Prashanthanilayam. I deem it my privilege to introduce the two women speakers blessed by Bhagwan to address the August gathering today. The first speaker of the session is one of the world-famous thought leaders and strategists recognized for entrepreneurship, Mrs. Mallika Srinivasan, the Chairman, CEO, TAFE. Mr. and Mrs. Venu Srinivasan consider their proximity to Bhagwan as devotees and their association with Bhagwan's service mission as the most remarkable of all their qualifications. Mrs. Srinivasan is presently rendering her direct services as a trustee of Sri Sathya Sai Ishwaramma Women's Welfare Trust. Mrs. Srinivasan was a university gold medalist in econometrics from the University of Madras. She graduated as a member of the Dean's Honor List and the Alpha Beta Gamma Society from the Wharton School of Business, University of Pennsylvania, USA, and was ranked among its top 125 most successful alumni. In the competent and deft hands of Mrs. Mallika Srinivasan, in a span of 25 years, TAFE has emerged as the world's third largest tractor manufacturer and the country's largest exporter of tractors. While all of us will certainly recognize Massey Ferguson and Aisho, which are the first choice of Indian farmers, what we may not know is that TAFE does not only produce tractors, but has established as its principal purpose and focus the welfare and development of Indian farmers through its research center called J-Farm. It is said that the distinctive angle that women bring to business is, besides compassion and belongingness, a new perspective. They tend to focus on areas that are not usually in the mainstream. In that sense, Mrs. Srinivasan has put enormous efforts in the area of women in childcare and management education. What is laudable is the amazing balance she has in straddling the so-called opposite hard-nosed sphere of industry and commerce and contribution to social cause. She has not merely managed it, but excelled in both. This has won her several awards and recognition around the world, to mention a few. In January 2014, the Government of India conferred her with the prestigious Padma Shri Award for her contribution to trade and industry. Forbes Asia recognized her as one of the top 50 Asian power businesswomen. She was the first recipient of the BBC Businesswoman of the Year Award in the year 1999. She's also been a recipient of the India Today Award for Business Leadership in the year 2007 and Economic Times Businesswoman of the Year in 2005-2006. Also, Business Today has recognized her as one of the 20 most powerful women in Indian business. It is indeed my pleasure to welcome you, Madam, Mrs. Srinivasan.
Thank you. Om Shri Sai Ram. Respected elders, Sai brothers and sisters. The play is his. The role is his gift. The lines are written by him. He directs, he decides the dress and the decoration, the gesture and the tone, the entrance and the exit. You have to act well to receive his approbation when the curtain falls. Earn by your efficiency and enthusiasm the right to play higher and higher roles. That is the meaning and purpose of life. He, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, has been the charioteer in our lives, and for this divine grace I offer on behalf of my family and myself our deepest gratitude for the most precious gift of being born in an era when the Lord walked the earth amongst us, for the great fortune he bestowed on us by drawing all of us into his fold, and for being guided to play a role in his divine plan, all for our own betterment and transformation. In his divine plan, Swami envisaged an esteemed role for women as builders of the home, the society, and the nation. The feminine is the foundation on which a peaceful and happy world is to be raised, is a truth that is at the core of Swami's divine plan for the development of women, and it rests on two important pillars. The first is the empowerment of women through education. Woman was not meant to surpass man, nor to be trampled underfoot. She should stand as his equal, said Bhagwan. Women enshrine strong attributes, intelligence, kindness, compassion, empathy, discipline, spirituality, and the eagerness to constantly improve oneself. Bhagwan has therefore positioned women as the nation's leaders, and his education has focused on developing these exceptional attributes to build character. Bhagwan's educational institutions for women, the emphasis on women's health at the Satya Sai hospitals, the establishment of the Sri Satya Sai Ishwarama Women's Welfare Trust that focuses on the health, hygiene, well-being and skill development of women and children are but a few of his initiatives that touched and changed lives of women across the spectrum of society and bear testimony to the value that he placed on women's development and the role of women in the propagation of a more humane society. My life is my message, proclaimed Bhagwan. Bhagwan's model for growth and progress of women is being carried as his message by all of his devotees to every corner of the world. Swami, on this occasion of Ladies' Day, we, your women devotees, dedicate ourselves to being worthy instruments of your divine plan. Secondly, Swami's plan has actively encouraged women to excel in their chosen spheres of work, be it music, the arts, sports, business, medicine, or politics, always keeping well within the parameters of what Swami has defined as virtuous living. Many of us here today have had the grace of his personal guidance as we have pursued our professional paths, and I'd like to, on this one occasion, share a personal example. I work in the agri-equipment, the tractor manufacturing industry, and would be perhaps perceived as pretty unusual for a woman by some, but not by Swami. For 25 years now, he has been my guru, guide, mentor, and God, actively holding my hand every step of the way. In the summer of 2005, Swami was at Whitefield when my husband and I were called in for an interview. This made us ecstatic enough, but more was to follow. At the interview, Swami all of a sudden said that he was planning to go to Kodaikanal. In a flash, I found myself saying, and I believe it was Swami who planted the thoughts and the words, because they were out in a rush, Swami, you will be driving past our factory in order to go to Kodi, and I pray that you should come in and bless the factory and all our employees. To my delight and to my husband's surprised astonishment, Swami readily agreed. And a few days later, he was with us. We had made arrangements for Swami to enter the factory sitting on his wheelchair or in a buggy. But Swami insisted on walking up the steep ramp. His grace is boundless. In order to shower his blessings on his devotee and for the enterprise to benefit from his divine grace, he put himself through an arduous physical walk so that his divine feet could touch and traverse the factory land. As he went through the factory, he blessed all the workers whose joy knew no bounds. And as I chatted on excitedly, he listened quite indulgently. I later heard that he had brought to the attention of his students that a woman was single-handedly running the enterprise. His visit was to encourage me. Such is Swami's love and encouragement. This is but one instance. I have on every occasion, big or small, in adversity and in times of joy, on both personal and professional issues, placed the issue at his lotus feet for his guidance in the firm belief that not a leaf moves without his will. Drawing a parallel from the Mahabharata, we have all learnt that despite the military prowess of the Pandavas and the extraordinary valor of Arjuna, no success in the Kurukshetra would have been possible without the direct intervention, guidance, or grace of Lord Krishna. All of us here are most fortunate to have lived in an era where Lord Krishna himself walked amongst us and did for each of us what Krishna did for the Pandavas. I rescue all who worship and adore me. I will protect you like the eyelids protect the eyes. You have always have me and I have you. I will never leave you and you can never leave me, said Bhagwan. This doesn't imply that life will orchestrate itself in a manner that is an unbroken chain of happiness. Each of our lives are governed by one's own karma. It is our thoughts and actions, both past and present, that will shape our future path. Surrendering to the Lord alone gives us the strength and courage to face any adversity that lies ahead. Often during times of adversity, one wonders if the Lord has left us. And on every occasion, he proves us wrong. He knows the past, the present, and the future. In late October 2010, Bhagwan invited a few of us devotees for lunch at Yajur Mandir. Halfway through the lunch, he indicated to me to come up to his chair at the head of the table. As I knelt by his side, he made some inquiries and advised me on a variety of subjects. While I heard him clearly, despite his weak voice then, no one else at the table had been able to hear a word of the conversation. I didn't understand the significance of his advice then, but had listened intently. Shortly thereafter, as one adversity after another followed, and with Swami not being there in his physical form to guide me, I realized that the Lord had prepared me in advance and filled me with the courage to face these with fortitude. No one knows what God intends or desires to give a devotee. No one can understand what valuable, sacred, divine favor God chooses to confer on a deserving devotee. But we do know that if you place your complete faith in the Lord at all times, you will secure his grace. Grace alleviates the pain of karma. With Swami there to hold our hands and lead us through the tumultuous ocean of life, empowered by Sai's teachings, which makes the intrinsic qualities blossom to build a virtuous character, Sai women are well equipped to play their roles in Swami's divine plan. Women have been endowed with the gift of nurturing love. Hearts are filled with compassion, love and forgiveness, and they possess the unique ability to give unconditional love, which has earned for us women a noble place in the heart of the Lord. Bhagavan says, you must grow in love, expand that love, practice love, and strengthen love. As the wind of His divine grace blows, we as Sai women need to spread ourselves to serve with love. All of us, men and women, are born to serve, not dominate. All relationships, mother and child, husband and wife, employer and employee, are based on mutual service. The world is progressing because of such acts of service. If not for the principle of seva, the world would have come to a halt. And service is perhaps the best way in which women can participate in the divine plan. Women from all walks of life, as we saw this morning, doctors, nurses, housewives, volunteers, women from both India and America have come forward to help other women in our country through the Mother and Child program that Swami initiated. This program has made a notable impact on the health and welfare of expecting mothers and their infant children, laying the foundation for a healthy life for all children covered under the program. Similarly, a number of women internationally have come together to pool their resources, each contributing in her own way to provide good sanitation and hygienic living condition to their sisters in India. These are but a few examples of the selfless service that Sai women are undertaking towards the creation of a better life for humanity. Let us all take the position of the giver. Let us give love, help, service, and any little thing that we can, but keep out the barter. Let us make no conditions, and none will be imposed. Let us give as God gives to us. Swami Vivekananda once said, if women are elevated, then their children will, by their noble actions, glorify the name of the country. Then will culture, knowledge, power and devotion awaken in the world. Women are heirs of an ancient culture, and in Bhagavan's words, women of virtue and culture alone can have the power to transform the world. Dharma can be made to occupy its position in society and restored to its pristine glory only by women. As all of us Sai women pursue our journey on the dharmic path, let us surrender ourselves at the lotus feet of Bhagavan with a simple prayer, Lord, Thy will be done. Jai Shri Sai Ram.
Thank you, madam, for your thought-provoking and inspiring words. The second speaker for the session is Mrs. Chetna Raju, currently the Managing Director of Arvind Refractories and Managing Trustee, Sri Satyasai Ishwarama Women's Welfare Trust. Apart from being blessed to be a member of the Divine Family, Mrs. Chetna Raju has been Bhagwan's student right from her schooling at Sri Satyasai Vidya Vihar, Hyderabad, and she later joined for her further studies a master's program in philosophy in the Anandpur campus of the Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Learning. My pleasure to invite you, madam, Mrs. Chetna Raju.
Om Sri Sai Ram. With gratitude and love, I offer my loving pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Baba. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, every turning point and every great epoch of the earth's existence, there has often been one extraordinary being standing at the edge of light, unraveling the consciousness in which the transcendent descends into the physical, in which cosmic pulse of the universe converges to a point, to a singularity that is at once human with its manifested boundaries, as well as superhuman, displaying its infinite capabilities. Both heaven and earth collaborate in the sacred alchemy of such a creation and in the divine birth of such an extraordinary being. In the language of Hindus, such a sacred being is referred to as Avatar. He is the direct superconscious descent of the same force that shapes the universe and renders its harmonies and balance. He symbolizes the unity of all existence and pinnacle of the divine intelligence that is diffused in all things. To many around the world who have experienced him, Sri Satya Sai Baba has been the embodiment of such a force and spiritual descent that unifies all the places of existence, guiding humankind to the next stage of evolution, signifying alchemy of spirit and opening us to the possibilities of a higher dynamism, a higher principle by which we may actualize our greatest potential. Now let's ask the question, who is Sri Satya Sai and what is his mission? Before offering any definition here, I would like to admit and acknowledge that any description of universal consciousness is merely a description of it and may not be what it actually is. Individuals can have any number of perspectives about who he is. Though in essence he is spoken of as spirit, light, love, nature, etc., what did Bhagwan speak about himself? He said, "I am the universal consciousness." The difference between you and me is, I know who I am and you don't know who you are. As we go deeper and ask the same question, who and what is Sri Satya Sai really? In a letter written to his brother declaring his avatar in 1947, Bhagwan has already stated who he is and why or what is his mission. He said, "I have a task to foster all mankind and ensure for all of them lives full of bliss. I have a vow to lead all who stray away from the straight path again into goodness and save them. I am attached to a work that I love, to remove the suffering of the poor and grant them what they lack. I have my definition of devotion, I expect. Those devoted to me have to treat joy and grief, gain and loss with equal fortitude. This means that I will never give up those who attach themselves to me." What did he say about devotion? Bhagavat premanu kore premaye bhakti annaru swami, which means love that desires the love of God alone is devotion. that is written by Bhagwan by his own hands, you can find in his own handwriting in the book Sri Satya Sai Sambhashana. Perhaps he is not what we think he is. He may exist even apart from our thinking. Essence of him is impersonal in nature and spans far beyond individual awareness, space, time, and beyond anything we think we know definitively. He is void of perspective and identity because he as consciousness includes all vantage points as part of himself. I would like to quote Mundaka Upanishad, which reflects the same point of view. It says, Brahman is not grasped by the eye, nor by the speech, nor by the other senses, nor by penance, nor by good works. A man becomes pure through serenity of intellect. Thereupon, in meditation, he beholds him who is without parts. Dear fellow pilgrims, it is not important that we are all on the same page with respect to consciousness or to any perspective or offer here today. There is so much that cannot be proven. There will always be an element of what religious people call faith. In science, the kind of faith that physics showed in Einstein's theory of relativity in the absence of empirical proof. Truth is ultimately a deeply personal experience. It is about understanding one's own truth for oneself regarding the nature of one's own reality as a limitless being. Whether we are esoteric, scientific, united, or divided about who Sri Satya Sai actually is, our approach to defining him appears to make little difference to himself. He is a cohesive force that unites all, a thread that weaves through fabric of the universe. He is love void of all conditions. What did he teach us? He inspired us and set to practice love, peace, truth, and righteousness by his own example. He did not teach us factions, but taught us to be infusion of thought, word, and deed, which he called it as constant integrated awareness, and also to perform duty reflecting his glory. In recent times, I was wondering, O God, has the time come when people are not enduring sound teaching, but have itching ears and are accumulating for themselves teachers to suit their own passions? 2,000 years ago or so, the great soul Socrates said, the only thing I know is I know nothing. How come some of us today say we know everything? We have worked out who is in and who is out. Sadly, some have become very famous for such proclamations, which is really bizarre because our supernatural faith is a thing of complex mystery. I think we could welcome Socrates' humility into daily understanding. In a world filled with billions of people, thousands of religions and millions of faiths, a single philosophical tradition striking chord with several of these entities may sound improbable. Not anymore. People from various creeds, hailing from numerous walks of life, have discovered an order, not in stone, but in thoughts, tears, breaths, words of individuals who repose their confidence in Sri Satya Sai Baba. The cornerstones of Baba's celestial edifice include love all, serve all, help ever, hurt never, simplicity, equality, humility, and generosity. His benevolence generates internal peace and exudes external confidence. Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa decorate fabric of Baba's philosophy. Satya Sai Baba's legend breathes life into every known aspect of nature. His philosophy is written in every benevolent act, gratifying expression, tearful joy, and unspoken speech. What have we seen when he walked the earth? Sri Satya Sai made himself available to everyone. He was never too busy or tired to bless little children, to touch a sick person, or preach to those who longed for God's words. Most of all, even sinners felt attached to him, a phenomenon that cannot be explained. He would restore the innocence and purity of these grotesque souls. They knew they must change and follow him. Dear brothers and sisters, on a personal note here, from the days of my great-grandfather, Sri Kondamaraj Garu, and Sri Peddavenkam Raj Garu, my great-grandmother, Srimati Ishwaramma Garu, and my grandmothers, Srimati Parvatamma Garu, and Srimati Venkamma Garu, and my granduncles, Sri Sesham Raj Garu, and Sri Janakiramaya Garu, and my mother, Srimati Samrajya Lakshmi Garu onwards, Bhagwan has showed immense blessings on our family and kept us close to his heart for last four generations to eternity. At all times of our lives, through his love as a family, we had the blessing opportunity to take the journey with him. All along, there was no question of doubt about his divinity that Bhagwan himself revealed in glimpses from the days of Pandari Bhajans or various miracles that have happened in my grandmother Parvatamma's house, who served incessantly all her life till the last breath. I recall at her deathbed, after Bhagwan blessed her last on her physical journey with him, she called her children and grandchildren and expressed her last words to us. She said, "Look, when you are with Bhagwan, do not believe your eyes what you see. Do not listen to your ears what you hear. Do not trust your own mind what it says. Just know, always, and be conscious and aware that Satya Sai is God, and show gratitude towards Bhagwan for eternity." These were the last words of my grandmother. As I grew up, from the days when I used to run behind him calling Baba, Baba, till to date, all my life, each time when I looked into his eyes, he seemed to say, "Come to me and you would find peace for your soul." The touch of his hand sent healing powers through my body, exalted my soul, and made me seek only his grace. When I spoke to him, I always felt a strange feeling of time never ending. Each time he walked past me, the eternity he left seemed to extend itself and make me forget time, place, occupation, and myself. My heart desired to drink in every word he said, because those words burned in my heart and lingered on to keep his presence with me. His words were very different from any other that I have heard. His love and forgiveness made me look upon my weaknesses as some things that had to change. Dear brothers and sisters, in conclusion, with gratitude, I would like to offer my words of love at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Baba. Swami, you were there. You were always there in my darkest hour, deepest despair. You were always there through my trials and tribulations, through all doubts and persuasions. You are there in my turbulence and through my fear and in my pain, in my anguish, in my joy, in my happiness, in my sorrow. You are there. And Bhagwan, you will always be in my heart in the promise of tomorrow. Jai Sai Ram.
Your inspiring words and enriching experiences. It is indeed Bhagwan's immense grace that we are blessed today to join the much-awaited musical sojourn with 15 accomplished artists and accompanists. We have with us today Mrs. Sangeeta Shivkumar, a vocalist and educator who shares the art with the heart of a dreamer, the mind of a scholar, and the spirit of an activist. We also have with us Mrs. Bombay Jayashree, known for a wide repertoire and large body of work, and has had the rare privilege of being the first classical Carnatic artist to perform at the Opera House in Durban, South Africa, Helsinki, and Finland. Mrs. Gayatri Venkatraghavan, a disciple of Srimati Padma Veeraraghavan, Sri V. Subramanyam, and Vidwan Sri A. Sundareshan, continues to receive guidance from Padma Bhushan awardee Sri P.S. Narayan Swami and has been performing for many years now in India and other international avenues. Mr. Prasanna Venkatraman is an A-grade artist of All India Radio and a winner of numerous awards from some of the biggest sabhas. Mr. Prasanna is an entered graduate from IIT Madras and is also the recipient of Institute Blues Award. Mr. Sandeep Narayan is a celebrated young vocalist in Carnatic music today and an A-grade artist of All India Radio Chennai. He has received numerous awards from music institutions around India and the US. Notably, he has been awarded the Best Vocalist and Best Concert Awards from 2010 to 2014 by the Music Academy, Madras. Mr. Sikkal C. Gurucharan is recognized widely as an A-grade All India Radio artist, and the magazine India Today featured him among 35 game changers under 35 in India. Mr. Vijay Shiva, an eminent Carnatic music vocalist, is a gold medalist from Carnatic Music College, Chennai. Mr. Vijay Shiva also happens to be an accomplished mridangist, having received training from Sri Kumbakonam Rajappa Iyer. Mrs. Amrita Murali, known for her superior violin playing, is honing her skill under Vidushi Srimati T. Rukmini. A highly decorated performer, Amrita has accompanied a number of eminent and senior vidwans. Mrs. Nityashree Mahadevan has a rich heritage in Carnatic music as the granddaughter of Padma Bhushan Srimati D.K. Pattammal and Mridangam Maestro Sri Palghat Mani Iyer. A top-rank artist from AIR, Chennai, Nityashree has lent her voice to more than 500 film songs in almost all South Indian languages. Mr. Embar S. Kannan took to playing the violin at the age of 6 and evolved into an award-winning and pioneering violinist in the fields of Carnatic music and Tamil film music. Trained in Carnatic as well as Western classical methods, he is a grade A top artist of the All India Radio and is universally acclaimed as a soloist and an accompanist. Mr. Manoj Shiva is highly skilled and accomplished mridangist and has accompanied many giants on the field of Carnatic music in concerts all over the world. Mr. N. Guruprasad is an eminent ghatam player, debuting at the age of 16 years. He has over the years accompanied numerous established artists in their respective fields of Carnatic music. Mr. B. V. Balasai started his initial training at the age of 9 under his father, Sri B. Sudarshan Rao. In his dexterous hands, the flute emerges from its pastoral background to express music of unsurpassed elegance. He has performed for many prestigious sabhas and organizations all over the world. Mr. B. Ganapati Raman, a mridangist, has won various awards and recognition and has accompanied many leading musicians such as Dr. M. Balamurali Krishna, among others. Mr. Harihara Sharma, a young and talented Ganjira artist, is also a part of this big music family. Let us welcome them all.
Desire. సార్ధకం కదాధరావతం సతం విలాసి లోక రక్షకం భూతాకరాతమోదకం సదా ముక్తి సార్ధకం కదాధరావతం సతం విలాసి లోక రక్షకం
నాయకం విలాసి దేవతైక్యకం నతాశుపాశునాశకం నమామితం వినాయకం నాయకైక నాయకం విలాసి దేవతైక్యకం.
ಸುಗಜ ರೋಜ ಬವನು ಸುರವರು ಪರಮ ಪಾವನು ಧನುಷ జానాతి రామ తవ నామ రుచిం మహేశః జానాతి రామ తవ నామ రుచిం మహేశః జానాతి గౌతమ సతీ తవ చరణ ప్రభావం జానాతి గౌతమ సతీ చరణ ప్రభావం
జానాతి దుర్బల పరాక్రమం జానాతి దుర్బల పరాక్రమం నిశ్య చాబగ జానాతి దుర్బల పరాక్రమ మిష చాపగ జానాతి అమోఘ పటు బాణగతిం పయోధిహి జానాతి అమోఘ పటు బాణగతిం
Bye.
Thank you. Money. Yeah. ఓం శక్తి ఓం శక్తి ఓం పరాశక్తి ఓం శక్తి ఓం శక్తి ఓం శక్తి ఓం శక్తి ఓం పరాశక్తి ఓం శక్తి 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 ఓం శక్తి
ప్రసన్నే Thank you.
Sri Sairam. We request Dr. Mr. Narendranath Reddy Garu, Chairperson, Prashanti Council, to give away the tokens of love to the male artists.
ಚೆನ್ನ తద్దిం గిణత గిణతీం తజం తజం తది గిణత తద్దిం గిణత తద్దిం తరగడతాం
Thank you. Shri Ramachandra, Jaya Jaya Rama.
ಶ್ರೀರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ಜಯ ಜಯ ರಾಮ
ಕಲ್ಪನತಿ Shanti, Shanti.